everybody doing? Hope you're doing well this great Sunday morning. Well, are we going to get rain? I hope so. You know, they said we got a 40% chance of rain today. Kind of looks like it could, but I hope we get a rain in the next one. They said, yeah, we got a 30% chance of rain. Now we got a 20% chance of rain. The other says, oh, we got a 40% chance of rain. Oh, it ain't going to be very much. It's just going to be a shower. I'm saying we need more than showers. It's getting too dry. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing well.
Well, this is some weird weather we're having this year.
Yeah, I could use the rain. I'm getting tired of having to water my own plants.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
want the world to do it for me.
Yeah, I can see that. It makes it a lot easier. You know, now you just, you know what, you know, your plants do if you know they don't get water. Now think of the ranchers. They got 500 acres or a couple of thousand acres, and they got 200 head of cattle out there, and they got to have grass to feed for the cattle.
This is the problem with our weather, is that it's summer and then it's winter. There's no fall. So you water, 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 and then you get that one or two random nights of freezing weather, which end up killing your plants anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Repeat the process by buying new plants in the spring.
Yeah. Up in the sun, earlier this week in Llano County, we had some frost. Well, we didn't have frost. We had some freezing temperatures early in the morning. It got right at about 31 at the house, and then the next day it was 30. So, and we had some light frost, but not much. But I don't know. It just, normally we go from summer to winter, and we have about 3 days in there it's fall. Well, this year we're having fall. I mean, we've
in between summer then winter, then yeah. Fall, then back to summer, and then maybe winter, and then a little bit of fall.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Well, we didn't have a football game yesterday.
We did not. It's been rescheduled for December 12th. Thanks, COVID.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks, KU.
Yeah. So, who are we playing this next go-around?
We're playing Iowa State on Friday.
Oh, that's number 17.
Yep.
Well, hopefully the Horns will be ready for that. Well, they've had a bye week. Now they got another bye week. They got a COVID week.
I know. Hopefully they're not sluggish coming off of all this break.
Yeah.
And then the day after eating all that turkey.
Hopefully that they're healed up.
Hopefully Sam's healed up.
Yeah, everybody's in good shape.
Tom Herman says he's been fine all along, but
yeah,
he needed the bye week.
Yeah, he did, and now he's gonna have another week to heal. So yeah, we'll see what happens, and it's gonna be fun when we play Iowa State. It'll be fun. They started playing some ball. Some of it's not pretty ball, but it's it's ball. A win's a win. What did Mac Brown used to say? Yeah. A win is a win.
It's pretty penalty prone. Yeah. Winning, though.
I know. Oh, well, yeah, we'll figure it out. They'll figure it all out one of these days, and then it'll be everybody will be happy. Everybody be, oh, yeah, I'm horned. You know, we was kind of worried about them there for a little while, but yeah, they got playing ball again, and we're doing good.
If we know anything, it's that Texas fans are never satisfied.
Well, never. I mean, Texas fans.
I mean, we've
Dallas
got basketball
Cowboy
season
fans
starting next week too, and that's a whole other, you know.
And we had bull riding at the Diamond.
We did. That was something.
I'm sitting there. What? They're going to have bull riding at the Diamond?
The okay. Dell Diamond has to be the U.S.'s most versatile baseball venue.
Pretty much.
Because they're doing monster truck racing one week, to a concert the next, to bull riding, to baseball, to soccer. I mean, they do it all out there.
Oh, they do. And then across the street now, they got the largest indoor water park in the U.S.
Can you believe it?
I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, they've got that. They've got, like, indoor go-kart racing and zip lining and games and, like, five restaurants and spas. And
they said they're going to hire, like, 700 people.
It's a huge resort.
Good gosh. The Kala...
Kalahari, I think.
Kalahari, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 700 people being hired right now is probably a godsend.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
No, it is a godsend. And once the world comes back, it'll be great, and they know it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd go there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be all right. I think...
I don't know about how I feel about swimming in November, even though it's indoors and it's heated, but...
Probably wouldn't be bad. I don't know.
I'd probably take up their other activities. I could go for a massage.
With all the stuff they got there, it'll be fun. So, but you know what's kind of crazy here? Did the Diamond start it off for Round Rock? And Round Rock has always, you know, been the Austin's bedroom community. And now it's starting to draw stuff like this. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I'm glad it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I do a commercial for Dallas Truck World. And, you know, first time I went in there, I says, when I was talking to Bill about coming in and doing their spots, and I said, drove through it, and I'm sitting there, I thought y'all were just Southwest Kia. Oh, no, we got Dallas Truck World, too. And now this was years ago, and I'm sitting there looking. Y'all got a lot of trucks around here, pre-owned trucks. Yeah, he says, we got them at a good deal, and that's where I bought one. I'm sitting there, yeah, I need a truck. He says, what are you looking for? Well, I just thought, I drive Chevrolets. Okay, well, let me show you a couple Chevys. And they showed me about 40 or 50 pre-owned Chevys, and I bought one of them. So they're good place. But Round Rock is just crazy how busy it's getting. I think it's really because of Texas Donuts, Round Rock Donuts.
Well, they're expanding. I think they're throwing one over in North Austin or something.
Yeah,
I read.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, Austin is getting so full and so expensive.
True.
That these surrounding areas are able to, you know.
You know what's crazy?
Jump on that. I mean, Leander's getting a giant crystal clear lagoon in the next 3 years. It's supposed to be done. And then there's going to be like over 1 million square feet of retail space and restaurants and hotels and lots of places to work. And that's just right up the road, I think, like 183.
Wow.
So everyone's getting in on it.
Wow. You know, I live in Llano County, which is the other side of Burnett County. And, you know, it used to be, oh, yeah, we need to go shopping. We need to go do this. And it's an hour and a half to go drive. Now you can drive to Leander, to the big HEB there. And yeah, 45 minutes, you're in a big HEB. Now we have HEBs around us, but it's crazy.
There's a difference between a brand new HEB and an old school HEB.
Yes,
major difference.
Yes, there is. Even the ones that, you know, we just had the new one built in Marble Falls, and then you go to a new one here, it's like, wow.
All HEBs are great, but it's something special when you go into a big brand new HEB.
Oh, it is. There's something different. Hey, folks, we got a great show lined up for you. We'll talk to Jerry here in a minute. We're going to visit with Don Gordon. We're going to visit with Billy Koshin, Chico, Bob Lusk, and then we're going to end it up with Shane Levy down South Texas Deer Camp. So we got to get out of here right now, family. So stick around. We're just getting started, and we'll see y'all in a little bit. Thank you, Callahan's General Store. By the way, they're closed today. They'll be open tomorrow. See y'all in a little bit. Buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me. In your high society, you cry all day.
keeping up with the Joneses. Four car.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylock.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word?
Jerry, down at Deep Sea Headquarters, Captain Kelly's Deep Sea Headquarters. You can't miss it. It's first place right there on the left. As soon as you get off ferries, and it's not too busy on the ferries this morning. Almost looks like it could rain down here. If something would just come along and make it happen. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning. No rain here.
No rain. I know.
In fact, it's so dry that my windshield was dry this morning. And that just doesn't happen here very often.
No, it doesn't.
And I must be the only one with live shrimp because they were waiting for me when I got here this morning at 6 o'clock. I swear, it's crazy. You can tell the situation when I make a right. I just live right around the corner here, and I make a right over there by the new ferry entrance, and I can already see the taillights of the cars in my parking lot. I go, oh, my goodness, starting early already today.
And Jerry is there. He's the one having to count shrimp because the hired hands hadn't got there yet.
Oh, no. He's out there dipping shrimp out of the tank right now.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Daddy don't have to do the shrimp anymore. only in emergency situation. Well,
only way you do shrimp is if they're big and you grill them, broil them, or fry them.
I want Billy or Bo to give me just put my shrimp in a bag with the heads off already.
Well, heck yeah, that'd be the way to do it.
Yeah. I want the heads off. They're getting some big, something we hadn't talked about recently. Nice shrimp coming off the shrimp boat right now when the weather lets them get out.
Okay, is the Pollyanna running yet? No.
Nope, is not running. I walked by there the other day, and it looked like maybe they were doing some cleaning and painting and everything, so maybe they're going to be ready for the spring season. I don't know.
Okay, and then you're getting
kind of crazy. Peggy Inn.
And that's right.
I'm getting them off the Peggy Inn.
Yeah, that's right. But that's almost straight across the harbor from y'all. It's before
you
get
down a little bit.
Yeah.
Just down a little bit. You just got to leave my parking lot, take a right, and go into the park there and stay right along the water's edge. And they're on that corner over there right by the before you get to the Harbor Master.
Yep. And then now Costa Rica, what are they doing down there? Anything?
Well, I haven't really sent any customers yet. My head captain here, who is our captain down there, his leg's shaking because he's ready to go.
Well, I imagine.
Because he knows that from experience that he ought to be down there catching 15, 20 sailfish a day and maybe a marlin or a yellowfin tuna. And they're ready to go. They're still it's opened up. You're allowed to go, and we're getting quite a few phone calls from our regular customers that go down there. But you do have to, I'm not going to say jump through hoops, but there are some things you have to do, you know, that makes it just slightly more difficult. You know, you've got to get tested, and I'm negative. my mom still wants us to go to her house for Thanksgiving, so everybody's having to get tested.
Did you have a brain swab done?
I'm telling you what, they went all the way up. It tickled the top of my head.
Yeah, I know.
You know, they got a different one now up in Fredericksburg in your country where my daughter lives is there at Luckenbach. Her whole family went because my son-in-law works at the winery and somebody there got it.
Right.
So they went and got tested, but they did it in the mouth.
Really?
It's a new way of doing it. They did it in the mouth, yeah. But anyway, everything good here, unless I get exposed today. and I was right. The people are here. A lot of people here now. They poured in here Friday evening and yesterday during the day, and pretty darn crowded on this island last night, and it'll stay that way all week.
Yeah, because of
these people.
Yeah.
these people got better jobs than me. They can get off anytime they want. I don't understand it.
Well, the kids, a lot of the schools are closed up here, except for virtual learning. So
they closed the school where my daughter works there, Fredericksburg's all closed.
Yeah, because people are starting to come down with it again. So, yeah, they're shutting them down. So that way you can load up and go.
Yep, might as well. Yep. Might as well head to the coast.
Get out of the house. You've been in the house since for 7 months.
Come on down to the coast and bring your corona down here.
Well, yes, sir. Let's go to the coast. I'm ready. But, yeah, I can't talk my wife into it yet.
No, we don't. I mean, I'm tell you what, we don't leave this house right now. We just, you know, we usually go out a couple times, 3 times a week, visit to all the friends and have a beer or two. I'm staying home.
Mm-hmm.
Staying home. But what program is this? Oh, yeah, fishing.
We're supposed to talk hunting and fishing.
We should talk about fishing.
Yeah.
Anyway, at Costa Rica, we can get you to Costa Rica. It's not really that bad. You do have to buy an insurance policy specifically for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, they didn't tell me exactly, but it didn't cost very much. And it only has to, only has to be of a duration of 45 days or something like that, because, you know, just in case you get it down there and they have to put you in the hospital down there.
Right.
And you have to be tested no more than 72 hours before you go with a negative test and everything. And then you're good to go. You don't have to quarantine when you get there, and you don't have to quarantine when you get back.
Well, that'll work. They're supposed to be getting some kind of rapid test that the airliners have worked up that you can get tested right there before you even get on the plane.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah. I mean, and they need it.
Yeah,
I don't know what they call them now, but I wouldn't like to work on them. On an airline and be a host or a hostess on there with all those people on there and that closed recirculating air. No, I wouldn't like that at all.
No, I don't think so. So, have you been hunting yet? Have you harvested you a deer?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I had this big 155, big for hill country, 155 15 pointer coming to my blind.
Mm-hmm.
All straight up. This is a beautiful deer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at 4:30 in the morning, I got pictures of him, and at 7:30 in the morning, my buddy shot him a half a mile away. So
got on the doe. Got
I've
on
got
the
some
trail.
Super. I've got some super nice bucks coming to my blind, but I'm. It's kind of a little bit of a letdown. I've seen 3 or 4 bucks that I would have harvested in any year,
yeah.
And I haven't even picked up my rifle yet.
We sound like me. I'm thinking about going
Monday.
I'm thinking about going tomorrow.
Yeah. So Mama says this year's it's her time this year. She hadn't taken one in 5 years, and so we're going to let her. I got a big, big, big mature 8-pointer, probably 6.5 years old, so she's going to get a crack at it.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
And we caught fish here yesterday.
Well, that's good.
Dang, it was good. A lot of kingfish. Grumpy even got him a kingfish.
No, it'll work.
We're going to smoke some kingfish. The folks from Kansas said 9 kingfish was too many for them. and because the limit's 3 per person now, you know, so there was 3 of them. They had 9 kingfish. Nice fish, too. Fatties. No 50-pounders, but 25 and 30-pounders. Really nice fish.
Good eating.
A lot of vermilion snapper. Nice size one. No sharks. Didn't see the sharks yesterday. I don't know. They disappeared. You got to fish in a little bit different water to catch them anyhow. But beautiful weather. It's beautiful inside. Already the sun's coming up here right now. So it's going to be another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Well, that will work. That'll be fun. And then just get out of the house. Come to the Port A. Go on down Port A. Wear your mask and do the social distancing thing.
Your mask, do the social distancing. But when you're outside in this beautiful fresh air, I think you're relatively safe.
Yeah. There you go.
And it's not it's nice and warm, so you can stay outside. Come down, have your turkey dinner, eat it outside on the deck.
Yeah, that'll work.
But it's beautiful down here. The RV park behind my house here finally filled up again. It had some open spots after the summer, but it's all totally full now. And And so those people are having fun. All you people sitting at home, you're not having fun. Might as well come on down.
Well, he better give you a call, and they can go fishing and have a – they can be sitting at home and eating fresh fish.
That's right. And I've got room this week, but it's not like the previous 2 weeks where I don't think I'm going to be able to go on Monday and Tuesday. I've already got enough people, so give me a call and get on one of those trips. A little rough yesterday and today, but the weather's – it was supposed to calm way down tonight and tomorrow, so it's going to be beautiful all week.
Give him a phone number.
Hey, we're down here in Port Aransas, Captain Kelly's Deep Sea Headquarters. Give me a call at 361-749-5597.
There you go. I appreciate it, brother. Y'all go down and see Jerry.
I know. Y'all might as well come down because Chico and Ken won't come down and see me. So y'all come down and see me. We'll go buy some shrimp and have some kingfish, smoke kingfish. It'll be great.
We're going to do it one of these days. We're going to surprise you. See you later, brother.
All right. Take care.
Be good.
Make it rain.
Be good. Hey, family. Don Gordon next. We'll see y'all in just a little bit. Thank you, Callahans. Y'all be good.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylob.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word there?
Good word is we found Don Gordon. Now, you know, we ought to be talking about Texas Tournament Zone, but it's a two-day tournament. They already fished yesterday. They're going to finish it up today. They're going to figure out, okay, this is who's won this thing, and then they're going to give them $20,000, and then second place, going, that guy's going to make money. They're going to pay a bunch of money all the way down. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm not going to give any spoiler alerts, but I'll have that report next week. But the first place is $15,000.
$15,000. That'll work.
Yep. And I just wanted to clarify that in case somebody get their nose out of joint or something.
Yep.
But anyway, lots going on. Things are starting to relax a little bit with this cooler weather.
Yep.
Sorry, we just hit a pretty good bump there. I don't know if you can hear all this noise, but
yeah.
I'm trying to shield it. I got my shirt up.
Now,
it's probably pretty funny looking going down the lake, but such as it is, it's real.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I got a good report off of Buchanan this past week. Some better fish being caught. Not you know, conspicuous numbers, but better fish being caught. And the same thing on Travis. I feel like it's finally kind of turning. The nights are getting so much shorter, and it's affecting the fish. And of course, all the cool nights that we had this past week definitely is cooling the water down real significantly, and those fish start moving. But fishing on Travis, little secondary cuts, they're kind of moving into the main lake points and secondary cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the better quality fish are still a little bit deeper, Ken. You can catch them up shallow, but their feeding window with as much forage as we have on our Highland lakes now is very small. If you catch it, you got to capitalize on it. And this is very atypical to the way that all our lakes have fished for years and years. Our forage base, after everything grew up and all these years, you know, all the stockings, I have never seen so much bait on our area lakes as we have now. I mean, the balls of shad are huge. And the have you seen on the Buchanan some of those really big threadfin shad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got threadfin shad on Buchanan, six and a half inches, 8 inches long. And,
yeah, I was going to say eight and 10 inches.
Yeah.
I bet there's some of those shad, they're so fat, I bet there's some of those shad that are approaching a pound.
Oh, yeah, they're big. And, you know, Travis, I've never seen the shad and Travis like they are now. And
yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. You've got all class on your bait fish, too. You got little bitty ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where recent spawn, you've got the big ones, you've got intermediate size, and they're all at different stratification.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see them all mixing up, you know, on the banks, but it seems like the shad are starting to move back in the creeks now. So that always signifies, you know, things are getting better for fall fishing. So I was really hoping, you know, for some good crankbait bites,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, spinnerbait, chatterbait. So we shall see. It's starting to come on. You can catch, always you can catch fish on Travis on a crankbait, but there's a little bit of a topwater bite,
mm-hmm.
if you catch that window. And to me, there's nothing better than that. But,
you know what gets me? Is the temperature of the lakes. They haven't, I guess it's because it hadn't been so cold at night for the lakes to cool off. The temperatures, the surface temperatures, they're up there.
Well, look at the day, at the days.
Yep.
You know, that we've had,
not,
you've got days that are approaching, you know,
80 degrees.
Mm-hmm. And then at night, you know, it was down in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in the 50s or 60s tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, but that kind of fluctuation is not going to allow for real rapid.
Right.
And, you know, Ken, I'm just as happy if it stays warm.
Well, you know what's crazy is just now the stripers are starting to move into the areas that I told Max they would be there. I said, Max, those strippers need to be here. This is where they are. They've been there for this time of year since 1981. Dad, they're not there yet.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything is atypical on our Highland Lakes, and it's because we have so much forage.
Yep.
And I think it ought to be a fabulous spawn this year, barring any kind of real severe weather. I think it's going to be incredible. And the class fish on Travis, Buchanan, and on Canyon that we're seeing a lot of are the stockers that they put in 3 years ago.
Yep.
Pure Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think out of one of those lakes, I think we're going to have a new lake record that's going to blow people's minds. I think we're looking in the, you know, Charalunker 13, 14
easily.
Pound class. Yep.
Just because these fish have wintered so well and grown, you know, they're growing when they're not supposed to be growing, but they're still growing because it just has been so mild, and we're gonna see some big fish because the bait fish is just so thick, the shad and the brim and the bluegill and perch and all of that. It's just,
well, we're already witnessing some of that with the your 2 and 3 pound black bass,
mm-hmm.
the largemouth, because they look like tanks. It looks like stuff that used to come off Lake Austin back in its heyday. And it makes me real, real happy to see that quality of fish coming out of Travis again. And instead of the 16-inch fish that weighs about a pound.
Yep, yep.
That was classic forever, the native bass. I called them Travis toothpicks forever.
Yep, yep. So, you know, that's one thing we have to brag on Texas Parks and Wildlife. because they're getting out there. They're stocking these Florida hybrids and pure Floridas now. And it's just getting crazy on the fish that we're starting to pull out of these lakes. And then they're crossing with the Texas bass, and they're getting better because of it. But again, on that note, you know, if we get too many, then it'll start going downhill again. And, right. You know, Bob Lusk, he says, you know, it's all right to eat a bass. And yes,
I was going to say it's supply and demand with our fisheries. And the fisheries, people don't realize they need to be managed just like you do the deer. No different.
Yeah.
If you want trophy fish, you're going to have to take some of the smaller fish, the table fare,
mm-hmm.
take it home, have a big fish fry, feed your family, feed all your relatives, your worthless brother-in-law, give him some.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, we do the deal with, you got too many deer? Shoot some of them and give them away, or give them to hunters for the hungry. Maybe we need to do for fishermen for the hungry.
Absolutely. Yeah. We can do that. We might ought to put on a tournament where everybody, you know, keeps fish.
Yeah.
And we'll take and clean them and turn them into, you know,
that'd work.
Feeding the homeless or something.
Yeah, that'd work. Heck yeah. Tell them how to find you, brother. We're about almost out of here.
512-784-7793. I will report about TTZ next week, Ken.
Sounds like a winner. It'll be the week after. Adios. We're going to take next week off.
I got you.
Be good,
brother.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. That'll work. Thank you. Hey, family, y'all stick around. We're going to talk to Billy Koshin next. And we'll see y'all in a little bit. Y'all be good. Thank you, Callahan.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylove.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word there?
I hope Billy Koshin, and she's going to tell us what's going on down in the bays, down along the coast, and tell us what this little front's doing down there. It's probably blowing a little bit. And good morning, ma'am. Hey,
very little.
Very little.
I'm telling you, it's hot.
It's hot? We need.
Yes, it is hot.
We need rain. It's.
Oh, gosh. We need rain. We need wind. We need some cold weather.
Yeah, we do. It's just when you go in the deer blind and you're sitting in the deer blind,
and
your butt sweats.
Yeah, it's yuck.
And you're sitting there and you're in your shorts and you're hunting. You're swatting mosquitoes and flies and yeah, it ain't
that ain't hunting.
No, it's not.
And you don't want to clean deer in 80-degree weather.
No,
I'm telling you,
you
too
don't.
Many ticks and fleas and yuck.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, it's not nice. It ain't. It's stinky.
Yep.
It's yuck. So I'm fishing, and there's been some really good schools of reds. There is some good trout. You got to wait them right now because the water is hot. It's hot. I'm telling y'all, it's not like it's supposed to be. We got that little bitty bump front coming in Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's hot. It's just miserable. Hopefully December. Hopefully, cross your fingers. We got a good front coming in.
Yeah,
well, I'm playing.
December, it ought to take off. It'll get good. This little front coming in this evening. You know, it's. But I'm just ready for it to cool off. Here it is, the end. You know, Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we, well, I will take it back. We've had two freezing temperatures in Llano County. It got 31 night, and it got 31 the next night. But since then, no. I mean, no. Earlier this week, it was in the 60s in Llano County. And
yeah,
the deer hunters are showing up, but I can't.
Now, duck hunting's been outstanding.
Yeah, I bet they have.
I mean, they were quacking really great last night. But it's just, but it's still hot.
Yep.
I mean, it's just hot.
Yep.
It's just really, I mean, we have zero wind at night. So early in the morning, we got zero wind. So we're going out and popping ducks early in the morning. But, man, by 7:30, if you ain't got your ducks, you need to get off the water because it's just hot.
I need to get off water and go fishing, right? Casting blasts?
Yeah, I mean, because, and then by 12 o'clock, you need to get off the water anyway because it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Just, you know, if you ain't got sunscreen, ain't got it's hot.
Yeah, unless you're going to wade fish.
Yep.
I went out this morning and popped some of my reds and got off because it's just hot. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That's why I was hearing I'm going home because it's too hot.
You know, we're supposed to be in, I guess this is fall. Well, you know, that's something, I guess we get spoiled because forever we go from summer, 2 days of fall, winter.
Right.
We've had about a month and a half of fall this year.
Exactly.
And no rain.
Exactly.
And very little rain.
Yeah, very little rain. But we've had super high tides.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we've had more storms than normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've had super high tides more than normal. So we've had, all this week, we've had multiple high tides.
Mm-hmm.
Normally at this time, we have super low tides. But not right now because we've had all the storms out there that are pulling in super high tides. So we're still sitting on super high tides. And we're having super high currents.
Mm-hmm.
So they're down here on the coast. They're telling everybody that's coming down to the beach and stuff to be watchful for when you come down to the beach because of our currents.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever's coming down the beach for, you know, Thanksgiving and y'all, you know, definitely wear your mask and stuff because here, I'm telling y'all, man, it's pretty rough down here. I mean, we had 155 cases yesterday.
Well,
so you got to be.
It's getting scary, you know, everywhere, Billy.
Yeah, so we had a lot of family members that's caught it, and you just got to be aware of your surroundings and, you know, wash your hands.
That's it. Wash your hands, wear the mask, do social distancing. You know, don't go eat Thanksgiving at somebody else's house. Stay in the backyard.
You know, do it outside.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it inside, put a bunch of tables outside and eat outside.
Yep. That'll work too. You know? It helps. Anything to just get
people. Go get you an extra bottle of liquor and stick it outside and make people drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Kill the birds.
That's it.
Drink an extra bottle of champagne or whatever.
That'll work.
Be outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how we used to do Thanksgiving anyway. You
didn't
eat it inside. You sit at a bunch of tables outside and drank and ate it outside.
Yep.
So, hey, go back the way it used to be.
Right.
We never ate Thanksgiving inside. It didn't matter what kind of weather it was, you ate outside.
Yep. Whether it was on the car part or the porch or out in the grass.
That's right.
It just depends on what kind of weather it was. Yep, I agree.
That's right.
Yep.
So this stuff eating inside, BS. Everybody bring a dish and eat it outside.
And give Billy a call because maybe she might have a few openings between now and Thanksgiving, and you could have, redfish on the half shell. Tell them how to make
trout boudin.
Yeah, that's what trout balls. That's what
that's
I was
right.
wanting.
So, trout boudin balls.
Mm-hmm.
That's some good eating right there. I don't care who you are. You can slap your mama silly with that one.
And, yeah, maybe we ought to have, since this year's been completely different, maybe we ought to have a different Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Have fried boudin balls or trout balls, and black and red fish, and maybe some red fish on the half shell, and maybe pick up some shrimp while you're down here, and then go back and just have a smorgasbord of seafood.
That's right. Smorgasbord of seafood and some deer meat.
That'll work,
God
too.
God dog it. Yep. That sounds like a good Thanksgiving to me.
Yeah, that'll work. Well, we need to kill the pigs, so they can throw some pig meat in there, too.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, I ain't going to kill no pig. It's too hot to kill pig. Ooh,
I agree.
Lord, I couldn't even think of eating a pig right now.
No. It's pork. Nah, it's a little too rich for me in the summertime.
Yeah. I've done that already. I don't even want to mess with that.
Yeah, and cleaning those. Yeah, you think a deer has got ticks.
Not 80-degree weather now. I don't mind 70-degree weather, but not 80.
No, I agree with you. But yeah. So the fishing's good.
Redfish is on fire. They have been schooling up like no tomorrow.
Trout.
Hit and miss on trout, but redfish definitely schooling up.
Big uglies.
And if you don't want to throw lures, I definitely got a bunch of people throwing bait. They're throwing dead shrimp, cut croakers, and all that stuff. I'm just like, okay, whatever.
See any flounder?
I have been seeing some flounder laying on the flats.
So just get out and
catch
them?
Yeah, they're just waiting for this cool weather. I mean, because it's throwing them off too, you know.
Yep, and that's exactly right. Everything is. I mean, the fish on Lake Buchanan, the strappers. My son said, "Dad, where's the fish at? Where they need to be right now?" And I'll tell him, "Yeah, there's a few fish there, but they're not in there like you used to catch them." I'm sitting there. He says, "They're still down by the dam." I said, "They shouldn't be at the dam." Then I get to thinking, but we hadn't had a year like this one, as warm as it's staying in. And the water temperature is warm. It hadn't cooled off yet because the nights are staying warm.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Because our nights here are still, last night it was like 50. Well, last night it was 69 degrees.
Yep. Yep.
So our water temperature is still sitting around 70s, 79 degrees.
Yep.
So it hadn't hit under 70 degrees yet.
That's why these dang hurricanes in the Gulf have been, they're building instead of.
Oh, yeah.
Because the water's still hot out there still.
Exactly right.
Fix and be out of time, Billy. Tell them how to
find
you.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, man.
You too. Tell them how to find you, ma'am.
SportFishingTexas.com or 361-688-8859. God bless. Take it easy.
Thank you, Billy.
Stay safe.
Folks, if y'all want a fishing guide, get hold of Billy. If you want a fishing instructor, get hold of Billy. She is good. She is good. She will teach you how to do it. And that's what you have to. And if you want to go striper fishing on Buchanan, check out striperfever.com. We'll get you out there. Fishing's been pretty good on Buchanan. Max has been limiting out pretty quick, in fact. Hey, family, I got to get out of here. We got to thank Callahan's General Store. Next, we'll visit with Chico. So, folks, y'all be good and see you in a bit. Thank you, family. Chico on the phone. You're hearing war. We're hearing Lowrider. So, it's Chico. So, yeah, we're going to visit with Chico here. And, Chico's been out riding around. He went Fredericksburg, Kerrville, and all up down up in the hill country. And we were talking about that yesterday. Chico, what is Thursday? This coming Thursday.
Well, it's going to be Turkey Day.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk Turkey. We didn't even talk Turkey Day yet. Yesterday, we better talk some recipes.
Yeah. Well, there's so many different recipes we could talk. I'm not even sure what we're thinking of here today. But I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to tell you how to do is how to make a turkey.
Now, do you smoke your turkeys? Do you fry your turkeys? And if you fry them, what are you injecting into your turkey? Are you using Cajun seasonings? Or are you just putting in Italian? I've seen guys using just plain Italian dressing, and it ain't bad. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a big infuser, and I'm not a big, you know, guy that wants like to inject a lot of phosphate in the meat. Mm-hmm. But I am real big into brining.
Okay.
And I, you know, that when I look for a turkey, and I think that a lot of people are looking for smaller turkeys mm-hmm. this year, 10-pounders, you know, maybe 8-pounders, and depending on how many you feed, my rule of thumb is it's going to get brined. If it's chicken or turkey, if it's fowl, mm-hmm. I take a solution of, and for a turkey, 5-gallon bucket, mm-hmm. I'll take about 1 cup of good sea salt, or if you want to use kosher salt, same thing, it's mm-hmm. pretty close. And I will take another cup of, and not, it depends on the color you want. You can use white sugar if you don't like the brownness on your meat, and you can use brown sugar if you like to get a little bit more of that golden color off of the meat, which really works if you're going to butter it or you're doing a butter ball. So you do everything like you would. So if you haven't really started that now, start thawing that frozen turkey. You need about 3 days.
Yeah, you do.
Saw that in the refrigerator. We want to be careful. I think it's the biggest mistake people make is that they wait a day too late and think there's a way. They're running the water over to the inside of the turkey. It's not going to do anything but make the outside mushy. So that's a pretty good rule of thumb. Yeah, go ahead.
I was sitting there, you know, when you're brining. And I know we were talking about thawing out turkeys, but when you're brining a turkey, you use a cup mm-hmm. of salt, kosher or yep. sea salt, or
yep.
then you use a cup of brown or white sugar. I would think,
yes.
What would happen if you poured a cup of, like, apple cider vinegar into that, too, to give it a little sour and also to help break down the membrane, the cells.
Yeah, you could use something a little acidic, but I'm just going by the rule that works really well for me. Mm-hmm. I don't introduce anything else into it. In the brine process,
mm-hmm.
it's just to make sure that salt and that sugar gets a balance and it's getting down into the cells. So it needs time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what you're doing. You're plumping it up.
Right.
And it's bringing a lot of moisture. So now at the other end of it, the heat that you're going to put to it for a long time, it's got plenty of liquid inside, not just on the outside to stop it from burning, but in the cells, in each the individual cells that where it needs to be to protect it from burning. And it's going to also bring that umami, that really nice salt taste to the taste of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
To me, even if you're doing, a lot of people are going to just do a plain turkey breast this year.
If you're just going to do a breast, yeah.
Brine it. I'm telling you, brine it. Find a vessel that it'll fit in and do it in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep it cool. So let's say you're on that last day of thaw, it's a good time to set that brine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your biggest problem. Finding a place in the refrigerator to put a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah. Or do like we do. We've got an extra refrigerator, and that's what we put.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got. We got extra refrigerator, extra freezer, and mm-hmm. that refrigerator's for, the extra drinks and mm-hmm. a few, things that we want to keep.
Right.
Put the beer in so your friends don't come in mm-hmm. and find it, first thing in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to dig for it. But that it's perfect for that secondary refrigerator. Outdoors, don't do it. Make sure it stays under. You got to keep it under that 42 degrees,
yep.
42 to 50 degrees in that last day of process. And, man, I'm telling you, after you do that, you prep it as you would and baste it. I like at that point to then start doing what you're talking about with maybe a marinade oil or even a little bit of a rub
mm-hmm.
Into your baste and some butter And at the very end of that last hour of cooking, when you're looking at maybe a four-hour cook here, a little bit of honey on the top of it.
Yep, that'd work. Just
to give it that crackle. And I know a guy you can get honey from here pretty soon.
Yep, he won't be long.
Now I can't wait to see what you got for honey-wise. I'm going to use that stuff.
It's good. We got one colony that we took honey off of. Only got about 2-3 gallons off of that one. And next time I see you, I'll have to give you a jar. But it's good. I mean, it's good. So, but next year, we're going to have about 20 colonies that we get honey off of.
Oh, wow. That'll be productive. Yep. And it's about as local as it can get, right?
Your backyard, you.
Right there in your backyard.
It's right there. I mean, yeah, it's raised right there on the banks of the Lake Buchanan and Tow Valley and Tow, Texas. So, yeah, it's local.
Yep, that's going to be great. Can't wait.
So, now, on that brining, I'm thinking, as I was listening to you talk, I'm sitting there, you know, I could do a pork loin or a pork shoulder or a ham the same way.
Yes, it works really good on pork. Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you that if there are some cuts of pork that are so fatty, I don't know that it really helps
right.
that much, but
right.
on your leaner cuts, it mm-hmm. really helps keep the juice in, and that's where the big problem is. And, you know, where there's fat, there's always going to be juiciness.
Right.
So it depends on how close to the bone and to the fat it is. In other words, don't go brine a pork belly or bacon. It's not going to do you any good.
It won't do
it
you.
It might, I guess.
We always rubbed them down with salt when we got, you know, that was just to cure it. When we smoked it, we rubbed it down salt and a sugar cure, salt and brown sugar, and that was just to draw the moisture out of it when you put it in the smokehouse to smoke it.
Well, you know what I bought? I've been getting into is peppered bacon mm-hmm. from Grand Zines, by the way. They're peppered bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does bring, I don't know, it seems to do a little bit like maybe the opposite of salt, like does dry it a little bit, mm-hmm. gives it a little bit of more crunchiness. To where the meaty part of the bacon is crispy, crunchy, you know what I mean? Bite through it instead of pull it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And the pepper seems to break it down really nice in that. When I asked him what's the real difference between just putting that on top of that hickory smoke, and he goes, some people just like the taste. But I kind of feel like it does change the meat a little bit, and it makes that the meaty part real crispy.
Have you seen in H-E-B, we only got a couple minutes here, but in H-E-B, they have a jalapeno bacon.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm not sure what they do other than just splash it with, you know, jalapeno powder.
Well,
so
yeah.
I kind of stayed away from it. Because if I'm going to put something on anything, it's going to be green chili. And as you know, I do make and dry my own green chili powder for stuff like that. So that's what I would, that'd be my go-to personally. But
for
they
people,
do make it.
But if people that don't have what we have, you know, that chili or that jalapeno bacon is good just to wrap around meat and stuff. It's good.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're like.
Tell them how to find you, brother.
Well, you can find me on FrixTex on YouTube, FrixTex. Ken Milam's The Great Outdoors on Facebook and YouTube. Make sure you go check out Striper Fever and start looking at when you can get over there. And I have recently joined Parler, FrixTex on Parler, my friend.
Okay. So, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Well, same to you. May see you before then, Ken.
That worked. Come on up. Hey, family, we got to get out of here. Got to thank Callahan's General Store right now. Y'all be good, and we'll see you here in just a little bit. And happy Thanksgiving, folks. Family?
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Milam.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word there?
Just like yesterday on the Great Outdoors, smoke on the water, deep purple. Well, you know, that's Bob Lusk. And just like we promised you, we're going to have him back on today to finish out the train of thought that we were working on. People have bought their land. They've wanted to build a family fishing hole. And what's a better time to do it than in this pandemic? And good morning, Bob. How are you?
Still leading a pretty cool life, thanks.
and in quarantine.
But, yep. Kind of hanging out, just avoiding people right now.
You know, people have put their whole life into working, making money, buying this little piece of property, and they found their piece of property that they dearly love, and this is where we're going to put the rest of our life into and enjoy it. And then they kind of sit back and, well, you know, it'd be a nice place for a pond down there, but what would we put? How would we build it? How can we make the best of it? And that's where they call you. And then you and the dirt mover are going to have to get together, and then y'all going to figure it out. And you're going to talk to the landowner, and you're going to see, well, what do you want to raise? You want to raise bass, crappie, catfish, brim, those great big brim, or what do you want to raise? And the guy says, yes, that sounds good. How many times have you heard that?
A lot.
I bet.
That's pretty common. You know, what happens is we don't know what we don't know. And then when somebody starts to think about building a pond or a lake, which is going on a lot right now, it's really interesting because there's so many people that are just escaping the cities. And if they can have a piece of property in the country, they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the time they buy it as a weekend retreat or as an investment property. Well, people are actually living there now until this pandemic subsides, mm-hmm. or until our world decides what it's going to do, you know. But in the meantime, they're enjoying that property and they're starting to explore some options of things they can do. And one of those things that they can sure look at is how to build a pond for whatever purpose it's going to serve. You know, a lot of folks are now looking at growing their own food,
right?
You know, growing catfish or growing some bass or something they can eat. And the process is, first of all, you got to figure out how big the watershed is. So how much water feeds into that site? It might be a low spot. It might be a swale. It might be a little washed out draw or a creek, a small little dry weather creek. You know, so job one is to figure out how big the watershed is, because that's going to tell you how big the pond should be. So if you got 500 acres of watershed, the pond should be one size, but if it's 50 acres, it needs to be a different size. Then the next part of the equation is what kind of dirt is there. You got to have clay. Mm-hmm. So in Menard County, it's kind of hard to find clay.
Yep.
You know, but up in Montague County, there's clay all over the place. So if you're going to build a dam, there's really two jobs. Job one is to figure out how to build the structure that's going to retain the water. That's the dam. And the dam's job is to impound water, retain water, and then release excess water in an orderly fashion. And then what's behind all that is going to be a living, breathing entity that's going to be the pond or a lake or whatever it is that you're going to build. So going through that process is real, real important. You don't just call somebody and say, hey, come bring a bulldozer and let's move some dirt around and build a pond. You know, I think it's smart to plan it out. Because if you plan it well, then you can project the costs and be fairly close. And you can set your goals on how to create the best habitat inside that pond. So we've got a process we go through, and I help guide the landowners through that process. I don't design dams. I get them coached up to where they can find the right people in that area that will help them design the dam and then build the dam. And then I'll come in with them and help them design the living, breathing, natural part of the pond or the lake where all the habitat goes, so they can grow the fish they want and then enjoy it the way they want.
You know, when you go and just find the dozer guy, and just going to go in there and build out, you know, put up a dam on a draw. That's called a tank.
That's right. And you know, and there's a lot of earth movers that are really good at what they do. You know, they can build a dam. They can move the dirt efficiently. They can do it effectively. What most of them don't know is what's going to happen after they're gone 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. If you leave too much shallow water, it's going to vegetate. You know, I'm working with a guy now that's in Oklahoma that's working with a local bulldozer guy that's building a great dam, but it's going to be a 6-acre lake, and 3 acres of that's going to be less than 2 feet deep. So what I've convinced him is he either needs to raise the water level 2 feet, drop the water level 2 feet, or go in there where all that shallow water is and rearrange it, build some peninsulas, build an island, do some things to get the depth down so he's not dealing with runaway moss in the next few years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go on inside the basin of what's going to be that lake to help create it. And a lot of it is biology-based. A lot of it's math-based. Some of it's artistic. But you got to sculpt the bottom of that pond to create the best entity for the kinds of fish that you want to be able to thrive.
So, if you're talking to a guy and he says, I just want to raise me something to eat. Well, that's catfish. Or the guy says, well, I don't really like catfish. I want something that's got little scales on it. Okay, so how about hybrid strippers? So
Yeah, that's a good choice too. So what we do is based on whatever the goals are, then we decide which fish. Then we create the habitat that's best suited for those fish. And then, oh, by the way, people are going to want to catch the fish. I mean, if you're going to raise a 10-pound bass, you can't catch it. What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so we go in there and create the best habitat for the fish and the best opportunities for the fishermen. It's real common nowadays for somebody to say, hey, Bob, I've worked all my life. I've got 3 grandkids aged 3 to 7. I want them to catch their first fish off my dock. How do we do that? Well, that means bluegills, that means feeding the fish, that means attracting fish close to the dock so those kids can catch them, you know. And so we create that environment around the dock and around the perimeter of the pond where the kids can hop on the gator and go, or the mule, you know, and go around to 4 or 5 spots around the pond and be able to cast out, not get hung up, and catch a few fish.
And
you know, as we create spawning beds and all the other things that go with a fishery.
And have places where you got feeders out there and where you can watch the fish come up and feed. And we have,
yep,
at our place there on the lake, we have a place where you can go out there and throw floating fish food out. And that's something else I want to ask you about. Floating fish food out. And the carp come up. Sometimes catfish will be in there. And
yep,
those carp, people love to watch those carp. And then here come the geese. You know, we have Egyptian geese and ducks. And they're in there eating too. And people love to watch that kind of stuff, especially people from the cities that had never seen it. And they just have a blast sitting there watching the carp eat and the catfish eat. Now I've got
well,
to
you know
ask
when
you.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, it's water is a mystery, because you can be sitting there looking at the water, knowing that something lives under there, and you think you know what it is, but maybe you don't. You know, or maybe you do, and you can't prove it. But when you start throwing some fish food out there, then people can really see what's part of that mystery under the water.
Something I want to ask you right quick. We got a couple minutes here. And then we're going to talk to Bob in the next segment too, folks. But should I mix with my floating fish food, sinking fish food too?
This time of year, if you're feeding catfish and you want them to eat well, sinking fish food's a good idea. You know, now, if you, especially on a big lake like where you are, mm-hmm, smaller bodies of water, you want to be sure not to feed more than you know they're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
which is probably 2 or 3 pounds at a time. So, yes, you can mix the two feeds, and the catfish are typically going to eat that sinking feed if they're used to coming up and eating your fish food.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about feeders in the next segment. So we're going to have Bob on again this next segment, and we want to talk about fish feeders. Family, thank y'all so very much. We got to thank Callahan's General Store and thank Bob Lusk, a.k.a. Pond Boss. So, oh, by the way, we're going to be talking to Mike Young. Yeah, we'll talk to him yesterday. We're going to talk to him. We visited with him yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on for their Black Friday. So I'll remind you here in a minute, but we'll see y'all in a little bit, family. Thank you, Callahan.
They're walking on the fighting side of me. Running down.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Good word is we have Bob Lusk, a.k.a. Pond Boss, on the phone. We visited with him yesterday. We had him on this last segment. But there's so much that we can learn from him on ponds and lakes, especially with the pandemic going on right now. Maybe you want to put a pond in. So you have your own fishing hole. Well, get hold of Bob Lusk. He'll tell you how what you need to do, and or just get his magazine, Pond Boss magazine. He'll tell you how to find that here in a little bit. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
You know what? I'm still leading a pretty cool life. You know, coming out of that last segment, you were talking about Callahan's.
Right.
I've had the pleasure of traveling the entire state of Texas and a good part of the nation, and there's a handful of stores I just love to go into. And Callahan's is one of those, man. I mean, if you're talking about homesteading or feeding fish or, you know, being able to stock fish, I just love Callahan's because they've got stuff that nobody else has.
Yep.
And every time I get down that part of the country, I try to just at least swing by. And, you know, there was a span of time you couldn't go in, and I haven't been there in several months, but I'm just dying to get back down there and just walk through and look at the traps and look at the poultry stuff. I love that store. That's such a cool store.
They got everything. They are selling 200 to 400 hens a day right now.
I totally get that.
Yep.
I totally get that. You know, the trends I'm seeing in the pond management business, I see more people feeding their fish. You know, last segment you wanted to talk about feeders. I look at feeders and from two different perspectives. One is to supplement the nutrition of the fish, because you want to design a pond where nature takes care of the majority of the food chain, but there's nothing wrong with supplementing that food chain, which expedites growth rates and helps the fish grow better. Now, there's a couple of segment pieces to that puzzle. You got to have a good feeder. You know, there's feeders out there. I know Texas Hunter is not one of your sponsors, but I love those guys. All Seasons is good, too.
All Season Feeders, you know, but, is good.
Yep, they're one of your sponsors. But feeding a good feed, you know, a high-protein feed, takes those fish a long way, especially fish that are carnivores, you know, like bluegills and feed-trained bass, hybrid stripers. Feed the fish the right kind of fish food. I had a guy call me the other day and said, hey, I've been feeding my fish dog food, what do I need to do? And I said, what do you feed your dogs?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to feed the fish, feed a good fish food, and you're going to see good results from that. The second thing I see about feeding fish is to really produce more meat. If you want to grow more meat, then feed the fish beyond the supplement. You know, if you're going to supplement the fish, you're going to feed them just a little bit to enhance nature, but if you're going to feed them for meat, you need to feed them more of the right kind of feed for that species of fish. And that means you're going to look more at producing fish than you are supplementing fish. That's the two main reasons to feed them.
Now, when you say producing fish, you mean producing weight on the fish.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, for example, here at our place, I've got a catfish pond, and I want it to grow meat that we can eat. Mm-hmm. Plus, I want kids to be able to catch their first big fish mm-hmm. in that pond. So we feed that fish, feed that pond a lot more fish food than we would the pond that's beside the house. It's a swimming pond. We're just supplementing those fish. But down in that catfish pond, I want to try to put in the freezer each fall. We just put about 150 pounds of meat in the freezer from that pond. And we did it because we fed those fish consistently. And we got some big, chunky, you know, pound and a quarter to 3 pound catfish that we butchered and filleted and put them in those Food Saver bags and froze. So we'll have meat for the next 6 or 8 months from fish.
You know, as I was talking and you were talking about, you know, feed your, you know, supplements, feed them feed, you know, good protein feed. I'm sitting there. Yeah, here it sounds like I'm talking to Macy Ledbetter, and we're talking deer. Do you want to raise horns? Yeah. Do you want to, you know, same thing? And it's kind of the same logic. It's just you have to understand your species that you're taking care of.
That's it. That's exactly right. And then what's the mission? The mission is to grow meat, feed them like they need to be fed, like a feedlot.
Yep.
You know, if you're looking to supplement nature, then use a really high protein feed and you're going to see a difference.
And on, you know, you can get, we have on our porch, our store, it hangs over the water, and my wife, she gets out there and she beats on the side of the porch to make a little noise. And then she throws out the food and here come the carp. Here come a few catfish. But she says, well, that noise lets them know that I'm here. I said, yeah, okay. And it also lets the geese that you know you're here and lets the ducks know that you're here so you can feed all of them too. But it's, you know, everybody likes to see them out there feeding.
Yeah.
And those are
just. Yeah, that's right. That's kind of a Pavlov's dogs deal because I've seen many times where an old rancher that's been feeding his fish for years, he drives his truck down, gets a bucket of feed. As soon as he takes the first step on that dock, those fish are coming from all around mm-hmm. getting ready to get that bucket full of feed that he's going to throw out there for them. So they do respond to conditioning as well as their instincts. So if you same place, same time, every day, warm water, they're going to be there like clockwork.
Yeah, and I know we have a fish feeder out on the point, and there is some big blue cat coming in on that food now. But I believe it. You can catch two or three, and that's about it. The guys that was out there catching a bunch of them, I was watching them, and they were fly fishermen. I'm sitting there, what are y'all using for bait? Nobody ever catches them like that. And they started laughing, and they showed me that fly that looked just like a kernel of fish food.
Yep, that's there's a little cottage industry out there where people do that. And there's actually a little company that manufactures some of that fish food into fly pellets. You know, where it's pliable and soft, right. You can stick it right on a little fly. So that seems to work pretty good. But I tell you what, when those fish get conditioned to that fish food mm-hmm. and you try to catch them while they're eating, mm-mm. you catch one or two and the rest of them scatter because the little noise, that clicking noise they make with their fins alerts the rest of the fish that, hey, something's up. We got to get out of Dodge. And they take off.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they do. And they will come back. They always come back because they're looking for something to eat. But much like a doe or deer, when you're out there hunting and you're sitting at the feeder and you shoot one and everybody runs off and you go out there, drag that deer up to the truck and then all of a sudden you're sitting there and about 30 minutes later, here come the deer back.
Yep, they like that. They like that handout.
Yep, they're looking for something to eat. That's what they're doing. That's why it's dry. Now,
that's right.
On something that really surprised me the day, I was standing there on the porch and we was throwing food out, and there was about a 10-inch largemouth swam through there, and I'm sitting there, it ain't going to eat that fish food. And all of a sudden, he started just nailing that fish food. He's coming up there and busting on the surface, eating fish food, and I'm sitting there, wow, I thought they only ate live food.
Here's what happens there. On a rare occasion, one of them that comes up and sees all those other fish feeding, it comes up to eat those other fish. Mm-hmm. It'll come up to chase, you know, bluegills or minnows or whatever's coming up to eat that fish food. Then it'll figure out that, heck, that's a free lunch. Mm-hmm. And it will eat one, you know. But out of that one fish that figures it out, there's 25,000 that don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's an anomaly.
So, folks, I'm fixing to be out of time on this segment. Never have enough time when I'm talking to Bob Lusk. But, Bob, what do we need? You got about a minute. What do you need to tell them that they really need to know, how to get hold of you, or give them a bit of wisdom?
The bit of wisdom is wear sunscreen.
Yeah. Even now.
You know what? If somebody's getting ready to build a pond or a lake or just wants some advice, PondBoss.com has got a bunch of free articles, free videos, podcasts, or you can email me at info@PondBoss.com, and I'll help you do whatever you want to do, from help build a pond or lake to manage the one you've got. We've got a big resource guide of reputable people that can help. So I'll help refer you to the right folks, or I'll help you myself. Either way, info@PondBoss.com.
Bob Lusk, my brother, my friend, I appreciate it.
You bet. You're welcome. Always fun.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Hey, folks, we got to get out of here. Shane Levy next. We're going to be talking South Texas. See y'all. Thank you, Callahan.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Well, the good word is we're going to Freer. We're going to talk Shane Levy, Freer Deer Camp, and see what's going on down there and how the deer's doing. And by the way, if you're down South Texas and you're down there hunting and you get you a deer and you want to have a good processor to take it to, Shane, who would be a good processor to bring your deer over and turn it in some steaks and some sausage down that part of the world?
It'd be about the 600 pounds this week we've done produced. So, yeah, we're not huge, but we're pretty busy. We make good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Running around the clock.
I haven't ever tried y'all's, but I've heard it's good. That's what I've heard from a bunch of people. And a guy, there's a lot of them. Well, I'll take my deer meat prepared deer to Freer deer over there at Freer. Is that Shane Levy? Yeah, Levy. Yeah, that's him. They do a good job. So, yeah. So
I've been doing it 28 years down here. And summer sausage and dried sausage, and I don't even push the dried sausage because I can't keep up with it because it takes 10 days to dry it out. A lot of people cook it and get it.
You're doing it the old way, then. You're putting a little smoke on. You're doing a cold dry.
Yeah, we cold smoke it, and then we got three big fans, an air conditioner, and a dehumidifier, and it takes 10 days to dry it out to make it like the old squareheads did up in Central Texas where I grew up.
Yeah. Yeah. Folks, Shane's, and the reason I got excited, Shane is making it with the dried sausage, and he's sitting there, Ken, let's not talk about dried sausage. I can't keep enough of it. I said, I know. But it has a different flavor because when it's dried, cold dried, it's not cooked out. It's not cooked all. They don't cook all the fat out of it.
Oh no! You still got chunks of fat in it and everything else. And
it has a little acid taste to it too when you're eating it.
Yeah, some batches it depends on. They get it. I mean, I don't know what to call it other than a slight fermentation. But
it's the fermentation.
It's
That's
salt,
what it is.
Yeah,
it's the fermentation.
And we've we've kind of worked towards that to keep that flavor. And, I mean, I grew up in Central Texas and grew up cutting meat around a bunch of old Germans. And I always remember them doing it, but our climate down here in South Texas is just not conducive to what they did.
No.
They didn't have air conditioners and fans going on it. They just put it in a smokehouse and cool smoked it, you know, every few days and let it sit. Might have put a fan on it, and that was that. Yep. Well, it's so humid down here, I built a smokehouse specifically for it, and that's what it takes. It's really cool to have produced something kind of old world with new technology, but the way we got to do it.
Yep, it is. And folks, that's the old dried sausage is good. Let me tell you, that's all I'll say.
Well, and it's really neat to me. I mean, I'm not an old man, but I'm not a young man either. But the old timers who come in, you know, I'm in my 40s, and I get these 60-year-olds come in, and I give them a taste of it, and they just freak out over it. So, man, I ain't had this since I was a kid. You know, this is the way it's supposed to be done.
Yep.
And I drove from Freer, Texas, all the way to Beaumont and stopped at every one of them places on 59 and bought a link of dried sausage one year and was like, this is just not it. This is just not it.
They cook it.
But USDA says you have to you have to approve it, you know, and do it a certain way. But deer processors were not inspected, and we just take the best care of our product, of, you know, the way we can for what we got, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But it's enjoyable, and it's a pleasure to see them old guys that know what they're talking about. I had one, actually, I had an old guy there this morning. I'd given him a piece yesterday, and he come back this morning. He goes, I'm going to tell you what. He says, I have never had any better, and he says, I haven't had anything like that since I was a kid.
Or he come in and said, well, I'm going to shoot a couple of does and bring them to you and have to turn them into sausage.
It happens. I got guys that'll order 50 pounds of it, and that's like 120 pounds of sausage hung before to come out with 50, you know. And I charge out the wazoo for it, and then the guys that know what it is and appreciate it, they don't even bat an eye. But the ones that know, you know, the younger generation, they're like, I don't know, you know, they don't get it, you know. But it's like, look, I can turn and burn on regular. That's my girl who's sitting over cutting jalapenos. She goes, yeah, they bite, and then they come back and want three times what they got the last time.
That's it. So, I know. So
she's over there slicing fresh jalapenos for some summer sausage we're fixing to make. So,
oh, heck, y'all don't use the pickled jalapenos?
No, not in my summer sausage. I cook that summer sausage on a real low heat for about 7 hours and get it up to 160 and yank it out. And I put fresh jalapenos, American good garlics, and else she makes us some good coarse black pepper. I don't use the peppercorn, but I use real coarse, real thick coarse black pepper, and then high temp, no melt cheese. And I got a Bluetooth thermometer in my meat room that goes out to my smokehouse, and I sit here and watch the temp, and run out there and open that smokehouse and kick the fans on and drop the temp. A lot of guys will take it and submerge it in water. Well, it shrivels the casings a lot of times. Well, I chill it slowly with fans, and it keeps its fullness. It stays good and round. I don't get any shrinkage on my casing. So, but everybody's different. Everybody's got their own cup of tea. So
now I've got you something you got to try. A place in Brady, and what their thing is, their process, but they used to be a lot of mutton and goat in Brady, and still is quite a bit. But there's a place there that made a summer sausage, and what he would do is make a big ball of summer sausage, flatten it out, lay a hunk of low melt cheese in there, roll it up, and then roll it. Of course, he's, you know, put all the seasoning in it like summer sausage.
And make a loaf.
Make a loaf, but then he rolled it in coarse black pepper.
Ooh.
And then he smoked it. Yeah.
Ooh.
And then when you cut it, you had a big hunk of cheese in the middle that didn't melt out, and it was good.
That's personal sausage there. That's after season I make for myself, because I'd start doing that, and I'd never keep up with it.
I know. I know. Now, he didn't make his with goat. which is the same dang thing.
Yeah, I mean, a good greasy goat's just damn near as good as pork meat.
Yeah.
The same thing. They don't look that greasy, but they are.
Yeah,
and it add a whole new flair for them Central Texas old Germans up there like that goat. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I enjoy it. And, well, I got one of my friends and customers that I'm going to build him. He wants some. He's from Austin and into that all grass-fed, and I'm going to make him a batch of what he calls, he wants me to try it, make primal sausage, and we got saved up some deer hearts and livers and kidneys and do it with a good fat wild sow and season it up. And I told him, I'll make it, you're going to eat it no matter what.
Well, that was just blood sausage.
Well, similar, because it's going to have a lot of liver in it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be rough.
You go to Fredericksburg and get blood sausage, but you don't eat it like sausage. Blood sausage, you cut it and put it on your toast and then put it underneath the oven and, to toast your bread, and it melts.
That's one thing I never got to learn to make. That's something. And I've had it before. I know what you're talking about, but I never did learn how to make it. But that's probably what we're going to end up with all this wild hog and deer liver.
It'll be good. There ain't nothing matter with it. I
assure you. Hey, it's something different. And, you know, you can't get any more natural than everything wild out of the pasture turned into, stuffed into a gut, you know.
Shane, I'm fixing to have to get out of here. I got about 2 minutes to tell folks to come by and get in with y'all's, your veteran thing.
Yes, sir. We're freedeercamp.com and Venado Macho, 501c3 tax-free organization. We've actually had four wounded warriors going on a hunt this morning. My dad's escorting to the Walker Ranch in Webb County. Look us up, freedeercamp.com, or give us a call. We'd love your support. 361-394-5586.
Shane,
thank y'all.
I'm going to have to get by there and try some of your stuff. I already see that.
You better. You better.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Hey, folks, we got to thank Callahan's General Store. We got to thank y'all for tuning in this morning. And talk about Deer Hunter. There's a deer hunter right here, Blake Shelton. I guarantee you that man loves the outdoors. I got to get out of here. I'm going to let y'all listen to a little God's Country. Y'all be good, family. Thank you, Callahan. Thank you, Shannon.
Work until the week's done. We take a break and break bread on Sunday, then do it all again, 'cause we're proud to be